too loud, baby. You know, Brother Jim, we are enjoying ourselves really out preaching, you know, helping out churches. We've been busy ever since we stepped out of the pulpit at Everett Chapel and backed away from the full-time pastor as large a church as Everett Chapel. And the Lord has been good to us. We're somewhere preaching about every Sunday, and I'm thankful for that, you know, to be a blessing to those around us. And sometimes we drive a lot of miles. In the month of August, we were all the way down in Beulahville, North Carolina. Wonderful people down there, beautiful facility, and they need a pastor, and we're praying with them. We'll be back down there again. Well, and then we went up to Sharon Acres in Durham last Sunday. We'll be back up there again next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but the next Sunday, and then we'll be back in Beulahville again, and they really want us to feel do the pulpit down there on Sunday morning until they find a preacher. But it's just on Sunday morning, so we don't have to go, you know, and stay down there, and that works out real good. It's 85 mile one way, and we pretty well got used to the ride now, so just pray the old car, get it there and back, and get it there and back, all right. But, you know, when you do that and you meet a lot of wonderful new, you just enlarge the family of God. You just meet people. It's just wonderful. And, you know, I found out wherever you go, there are people that love the Lord. They really love the Lord. They're really genuine people of God. And wherever I go, though, I also see a need for revival. We just need a revival so bad in our world. You know that, and I know, pray that even tonight, another president around 9 o'clock is going to share again about the situation in Iraq and where we stand and what we're going to do. And President Clinton took a lot of beating. I beat on him a lot. I'm sure you beat on him a lot over the years. And I learned that the best thing we do is pray for him. You know, you can't just talk about him. And President Bush has took a lot of beating, you know, verbal beating, and still is and will the rest of his term, no doubt. But we need to pray for him and the leaders of our military. Brother Jim retired from the military. He knows what it's all about and the strategy they have and all the things and they're doing. So, well, let's pray for them. That's what we need to be doing, that God will just continue to lead them. God, whether we agree with all of them or not, you know, we're not in a position to do anything about that. But we can pray that God will lead and guide those over us to do the right thing. Not only for the people in Iraq and Afghanistan around the world, but here in America. We need, here in America, to get right with the Lord. I told you last evening, the fastest growing denomination or religion in America today is the Muslim religion. You know, that's sad. It's sad. It used to grab up the African Americans. Now it's moving into Caucasians. It's just, and they say that they're moving that way because Christianity is not excited anymore. Not excited anymore. Listen, I got something that's exciting to me, I'm going to tell you right now. I mean, when Jesus put it in my heart and life, I'm telling you right now, he gave me something to live for, but he also gave me something to die for one of these days to have a place better waiting for me. I done read the back of the book. I know that there's a place waiting for me if I know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that ain't my sermon at all, but I must have thought you needed that or I needed that. But anyway, I'm glad to be called a Christian. I'm glad I can stand up for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I appreciate Brother Jim calling me and letting me come these two nights and just here in a place I love dearly, dearly, as a boy growing up here. Many of you were there the day I got saved. Many of you were there the day that I was called into ministry. And to have been able to be saved in this area and pastor two churches here for 26 years in the same area. I've been a blessed man. I'm thankful for that. But I tell you right now, folks, whatever time I got left, I want to be somewhere letting folks know that Jesus still loves us. And that's what we need to be doing. I thought about as Miss Green sung that song, you know, of them dark hills. I could just see Vesta Goodman just singing that. I mean, just getting there once in a while, she would just get happy. I'm telling you right now, that was just wonderful. Then that last one she sung, I don't know exactly, can't remember who wrote that one, but I used to sing Bobby Kraft with the Dixie Melody Boys sing that, and I'm going to tell you right now, he could get on with that last one. And she did an outstanding job tonight. I tell you, that was wonderful to get up and sing the Lord. All right, turn over to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah. Going somewhere tonight that we probably, how many ever heard of Jonah? Amen. 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 I think tonight everybody heard of Jonah. So when you leave here tonight, you'll remember easier than some of the other scriptures maybe that we've read. But there's something, there are many ways. And your pastor here, no doubt, has preached on it various times of his years here. And I have spoken on it too. But there are several things you want to look at in this story here and try to relate it to the church and to us individually. And certainly for our day, I want to begin reading in chapter 1, verse 1, down through 3. And then I want to skip over to chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, and read on down to verse 4. And then we'll be reading in Matthew in just a few moments. But let's read with me now. If you have your Bible, beginning with chapter 1. And it is good to see some of the Everett Chapel folks here tonight. Some of my dear brothers and sisters that's here. We just love them dearly and appreciate them coming. They didn't leave their church last night to come. They just waited till another night to come. And I'm glad that they're here, and all of you, as Brother Jim said, have come to visit with us tonight. Verse 1 of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now imagine that with me for a moment. Imagine trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. Now just think about that. Trying to get far away somewhere where the Lord don't know where he at. Well, over in chapter 3 now, read with me again now. Notice there's a little different situation here. But the same wording. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, chapter 3, verse 1, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you so much for giving me an opportunity again tonight to stand here where so many men and women have stood over the years and sung the gospel through song and read and opened that word of God and spoke under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And I pray tonight, Lord, that I can do likewise. I pray, Lord, you'll speak to me and through me that it ought to be said. These wonderful people, as the preacher said earlier, no doubt probably most of us, if not all of us, have found Jesus as our Savior. But Lord, I pray that some way, somehow, that this story here in Jonah, we can break it tonight in a way, Lord, that would challenge every one of us to walk closer to our Lord and Savior every day, to demonstrate it on the job, off of the job, in the church, out of the church, wherever we at, that people will know that we've been with the Lord. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the reading in the first chapter, the first three verses, reading in the third chapter, the first four verses, we find basically the same wording, but something is different. The first time God spoke to Jonah, he tried to hide from him. The second time he spoke to him, same word. Then he went where God wanted him to go. Now, with that in mind, and I don't want to go through the whole story. You know it very well. You know it very well. But I want to look at several things tonight that I think are very interesting and also very important that we notice. God is willing to go whatever steps he needs to go to get our attention, folks. And you got to remember that God is God, and there is no higher tribunal than God. He's the one. He's the great I am. And he told them to tell them that's who I am. There's nowhere else to go. And God will go to whatever measure he needs to go to get an individual's attention. And like Jonah, so many people somehow seem to think for a season when God begins to speak to us and deal with us individually and collectively, that somehow or another we can go somewhere and get out of the presence of the Lord or get out away from God where God doesn't speak to us. Now, I will agree with this. Sometimes we can get away from the Lord to where the power of the Holy Ghost does not have the strength or the dominion over us as it does at other times. And I guess some people seem to think that if that be the case, well, I finally got to where the Lord don't know where I'm at. But listen, I don't want to ever get anywhere where I don't know the Lord is there. You don't want to get a place, and it's not possible, but you don't even want to go to where the Lord can't be. Listen, before he said, you ever get there, I done been there. And I'm there. It's like somebody said, does a tree make a sound in the forest when it falls if you're not there to hear it? Well, I don't know all about that. But I do know this, the tree falls in the forest whether I'm there or not. And evidently something there to hear it. It must make a sound. God's listening. It must make some kind of sound. But we can't go anywhere where God is not there. So we can't hide from him. We can't get in a place and say, well, I'm finally, the Lord's not dealing with me now. I can't. Listen, I stood on that back pew there where Brother Lavelle and Ruby and them were sitting. And I stood there many a time, not maybe that pew, but one like it back there for a long time. And the word was preached, and I would stand there and hold it on the pew, and my hands turned pure white. I knew I needed to go. And inside, I wanted to go, but I had too many thoughts in my head to keep me from going. But finally, God got through to me, and I understood. And I understood that that's what I needed to do. And that God was calling me. God was speaking to me. Listen, we need to be listening. Because God can get our attention. And sometimes he is willing to go at lengths that you and I can't even imagine to get our attention. But when he does, we ought to listen. We ought to listen. It took old Jonah. Nobody know. By the way, I know everybody here believes that story, but just to show you that that's a true story, I've heard people actually say to me, do you actually believe that's true? You actually believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale or a big fish? Do you believe that story? I believe it. Now, I'm going to tell you why I believe it. Look over in Matthew chapter 12. Go down with me to verse 40. Matthew 12, 40. Now, when you get there, raise your hand if it's in red writing. What does that mean? Jesus is saying these words, okay? Listen to what Jesus said now in chapter 12 of Matthew, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of earth. Is it a true story? It's a true story. Why? Because Jesus said it was. And he was illustrating here his death, burial, and resurrection. And he did exactly what he said. Well, so what we're talking about tonight is then that this is actually an event that happened many years ago. God said to this man, I want you to go over to Nineveh and I want you to tell them about me. Now, when he finally got God's attention, and I really believe that, and by the way, you know, it's amazing. You know, the torment that this man went through down in the body of that whale swimming around in the ocean. But when God got his attention and he woke up, God just kind of slid that old fish right up on land and opened up his mouth. And when Jonah hit the ground, I believe he was running, brother. He said, pull me to Nineveh. I want to go to Nineveh and do the word that the Lord wants me to do. And notice this now, an 8-word sermon. 8 words in a sermon. And we think sometimes, Brother Jim, we got to preach about 30, 45 minutes to get people's attention. Well, I know for some people when you come in, it takes about 20 minutes to get them wound up. I understand that. That's why it's good singing makes a difference. You're wound up when the preacher gets up there. But listen, 8 words is all it took. He said, you know why it was that's all it took is because that's what God told him to say. And whether a man gets in the pulpit, a woman, whoever it is that's teaching or doing whatever it is, need to be done. If we do what God wants done, then it'll accomplish that he goes out to do. And he says here, now you tell him this, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Amen. He preached an 8-word sermon and Nineveh turned back to God. The whole place, listen, and I'm going to tell you right now, Jonah was right. This was an evil place. This was an evil place, but God was interested in what went on over there. And God is interested in all the four corners of the earth and what's going on in our world. He's interested down the road from you and up the road from you and I and wherever it is. God is interested in what goes on in this sanctuary, out of the sanctuary, in our lives, what's going on. And sometimes, because God is interested in our life, because God wants us at our very best, God goes to various lengths to get our attention. And we need to be very attentive to what God has to say. Because here, and by the way, I am glad, and I want to mention several things tonight, but there are many ways I want to go here, and I want to be very careful not to get going too many places, because I know you want to get out at a reasonable time. But when God speaks, we need to listen. I don't have time to tell you how many ways God speaks, but God speaks. But most of the time, when He speaks to us, He speaks to that inner, small voice within us, trying to get our attention. Now, sometimes He could work through your conscience, but I'm going to tell you right now, you can't let your conscience be your guide. As a lot of people seem to think you can. Now, it's there for a purpose, but that conscience can be seared as with a hot iron, and we could go opposite the way. But if we know Christ as our Savior, there is a weight and balance there that God deals with us, and we need to listen because God is speaking for a reason. When God speaks also, we need to be obedient and not be disobedient. If we are obedient, we don't have to wind up over yonder somewhere and God's trying to get our attention in so many ways. We're obedient. But I am so glad that God is the God of a second chance. Aren't you? God gave Nineveh a second chance. This old city there would all die and went to hell. Ugliness of like you couldn't even know was going on there. But God was interested, and God sent Jonah. Even though Jonah didn't want to go, God got his attention. By the way, God gave Jonah another chance too. Isn't it something how God works? He sees a situation over there that needs attention. So what did he do? He finds him somebody to go over there and meet that need, to go over there to be an instrument in his hands so that need would be met. It might be you and you and you and you and I and somebody else, but listen, we need to be listening to the Lord, because if we're not, and when God gets our attention, by the way, He knows where to get us and where it hurts the most. Amen. By the way, He chastens those that He loves. And I thank the Lord for the chastening rod of God. Sometimes it hurts pretty bad, but I thank the Lord for every time He said, my sheep know my voice. And He's like that great shepherd. He's not only just a shepherd, He's a great shepherd. And He's there to keep us on the right track. And we need to be listening. Sometimes we have to do a lot of thinking about this. But there was a need over there in Nineveh. And He gave them another opportunity to hear the good news. And He even took old Jonah, even though Jonah was disobedient, like so many have. And He gave him another chance to go over there and do what he needed done. And Jonah did it. God gave David another chance. You know, that great, great man of God. That God Himself said, even after he sinned, he's a man after mine own heart. God gave David, Psalm 51, read it. Talks about David. And by the way, most of the Psalms were written, they were more written by David than others, but he didn't write them all. But there, he lamented over there. He never forgot. He never forgot what God did for him and what brought him where he was at. He was a great man. But God gave him another chance. God didn't throw him away. I'm so glad that God just doesn't, you know, we go doing things we ought not to do and we go this way and that way. God just doesn't say, well, I'm tired of you. I'll just throw you away. No. He comes along there and tenderizes our heart, but we got to listen. We got to listen so we don't get out on the old beaten path. I was telling them last night, years ago, my mama used to bring her four boys, and we'd walk about 2 miles from way over on another road up through here and come to the barber's home and come here, and you know, and we had church on Saturday and Sunday. Anybody here? I know Miss Joyce will remember it probably, or Saturday. I thought it was the longest 2 days in the world. You know, them kids, then it was a church setting up here. You know, you could look under it. You know, it was setting up on rocks and other stuff. And, And you know, in the front with the porch, we come, and the kids would get missing. They'd go look at us, and we'd be under the front porch there under where the doodle bugs is, you know, up under there in the thing. But I thank the Lord that all these times, Mama was raising a preacher boy. Didn't even know it, and she was raising a preacher boy. She was raising two deacons. Jim was there with the two of them deacons. I was a deacon here. And then the other one, of course, had problems with his marriage down the road, but got saved, and what, you know, he wasn't a deacon, but he was a child of God. Mama did pretty good with those four boys. Merlin was already married and off then. Used to tell people, you know, how many's in? How many in your family? Well, there's four of us boys, and we all got a sister. Eight of you. Eight of you. No, just one sister. Four boys and one sister. She was the oldest. She used to spank me big time. Even got permission from Mama to do it. But anyway, see there when you start chasing rabbit, what you get into, brother? Troy Lee Jr. used to say, you know, why he just called a minister and said, "Preacher, can you chase a rabbit?" I said, "Sonny, it's all right to chase a rabbit if you know how to catch him. Don't start chasing him and then you know where to go." But I'm thankful that a mama was interested in trying to be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ and whatever God was saying to her. I know Daddy used to tell her, and I don't remember a lot about my dad. He died when I was 12 years old and then was two boys younger. But she used to say, "I'm telling you right now, Bertie, they'll all go to heaven because you're going to keep the devil out of them." That's wonderful, isn't it? To try to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Try to teach them to where they'll know the difference. My mother used to tell me right on up to that time I got married, "Son, go out and do what you please, but please do right. And I'm going to tell you, it followed me wherever I went." You want to do something wrong? Mama saying, "Please do right. Please do right. Please do right. Please do right." The Lord saying, "You know what Mama said. You know what you ought to be doing. And you do it." You've got to be attentive. God speaks in so many ways sometimes. There's wonders to perform. And we've got to listen and be obedient to the Lord. He gave David a second chance. He gave old Samson a second chance. You know the story of Samson. Even in his death, more people died than when he was living. Poured out his soul to Delilah, and it cost him his life. Cost him his eyes. Serving the Lord sometimes it's going to cost us something. A lot of people seem to think, you know, that even Jesus said, you know, how many go out there and try to build something? First of all, don't sit down and count the cost. There's some cost involved in your salvation and mine and your labor. Now, it cost Jesus his very life. It cost God's most prized possession. There's some cost in serving the Lord. We just can't, you know, there are people that just get up there and preach and talk about all this and what you can have and all the fine cars you can have and the houses you can live in, have money in your pocket, and you're going to never get sick. If you're sick, then bless God, you ain't got faith and all this other stuff. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have any confidence in that. I'm telling you, folks, there's a cost when it's involved in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that God wants us to prosper and be in health. I believe that. And I believe God will put money in your pocket when somehow or another you didn't think where it's coming from. He's done it mine many times. But you got to abide in him and his words abide in you, and then you can ask what you will to be granted unto you. God is interested in all this, but I'm going to tell you right now, folks, we need to be attentive to the voice of God. Not only was Samson brought back, or God gave him a second chance, even old Peter, one of the disciples, one of the close inner circle there, you know, Peter, James, and John. And I can sense old Peter like some of us preachers sometimes, you know, they need to be listening when we're talking. You know, he was always wanting to do this and that and the other, and you know, always speaking. And Jesus told him, you know, he's going to deny. He said, "Oh, not me, Lord. Lord, I would never do nothing." "Peter, Peter, Peter. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times, son." And he did. And the last time, boy, it was violently. But when he did, that rooster crowed. Old Peter got right with the Lord. And he didn't throw him away. He gave him another chance. And that same Peter, at the day of Pentecost, come filled with the Holy Ghost of God, went out there and preached. And as a result of that sermon, over 3,000 people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. I'm glad God doesn't just throw us away. He gives us a second chance. Church, God wants to give us a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. He wants us to do what He wants us to do, what He wants us to do day after day after day. But we've got to be attentive to Him. In another place, talking about the second coming, which is applicable to what I'm trying to get across here. You know, He says when you go out there and you see the clouds coming, it gets cloudy and you hear thunder rolling over yonder, you say, well, it's going to rain. You can discern when it's going to rain, but you can't even discern the times we're living in. God is speaking all around us, folks. God is trying to get our attention in so many ways, but too many people are not watching, not listening, and not being obedient. And the prodigal son, God gave another chance. I'm ashamed of it, but I was a prodigal son. But I tell you right now, when He gave me the chance, He got my attention. And I believe this, Jim Bogle, much as I believe anything. Well, it would have happened that way or not, I don't know. But I believe when God got my attention in September 1967, I believe that if I hadn't listened, I'd have probably died and went to hell. But thank God I listened to His voice, celebrating 40 years now this month of serving the Lord. And it gets better every day. Every day with Jesus is actually sweeter than the day before. Yeah, I was out there in the hog pen. And Jesus knew where I was at. I won't run or trying to hide from Him. I was just doing my thing. But He knew where I was at. He knew what I needed. And He said, go home, son. Come on home. I could see that gray-haired old dad looking when his son come. And I want to tell you, listen, this is a good example of true repentance. He thought about it. He just contemplated what his hired servants, his dad's hired servants was back home and how they were getting along. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll go back. I don't even want to be called a son anymore. I'd just like to be one of the hired servants. And he said, I know what I'll do. I'll get up from here and I'll go. But when he got home, dad put the best robe on him, killed a fatted calf, and had a feast. My son was lost, but now he's found. He brought him back to his rightful position. Aren't you glad that God does that? I'm glad that God does that. I tell you right now, there's nothing in the world, and I've told you this many times in my passing, there's nothing in the world that beats the feeling of being forgiven. Nothing. The devil just weighed us down and push us down and push us down. We get the courage to cry out to God and God come to our rescue. And boy, it just feels so good to feel forgiven. We get up and we start all over again. And by the way, that's what we're to do every day. God orders our footsteps every day. He gives us enough grace and enough mercy every day to last us those 24 hours. And when tomorrow comes, we start all over again. I think I told you that last night, but remember this. Tonight, today is the first day in the rest of my life. It's the first day of the rest of our life. What we do with it is very much important. Then learn this story. Think of this story. Because God will go to great lengths, folks, to get our attention sometimes. This is the only story in the Bible that God dealt with an individual as He did Jonah. But He got Jonah's attention. He got Nineveh's attention. He got all these other patriots' attention. He got my attention. He got your attention. But there are multitudes out there tonight in the battle of decision that God needs to get their attention. Who knows? You and I might just be the one to come along and plant that seed so that God can begin to grow in that person's heart and life. But it's up to us. The decision lies solely on us. When God created man and woman, placed them in the Garden of Eden, He gave them something that we still have today. And He did it for a reason. He gave them the power of choice. Everybody has a right to choose. God even says you can choose right or choose wrong. But we have to pay the price either way. If God hadn't given Adam and Eve this power, this right, they would have been as puppets on strings. They couldn't have glorified Him. Man couldn't have glorified God in that state, so God said, okay, I'll let them make up their own mind. I'll be there to point them in the right direction. I'll urge them. I'll even go before them. I'll make all this available. I'll be there to urge them along, but they've got to make the final decision. That way they'll glorify me. It's decision time, folks. Not only in this service, but day after day. What does it take to get our attention? If God is dealing with us about anything, let's be obedient, and He'll be honored. Let us pray. Father, we thank You again tonight for this wonderful privilege to be here, to share right out of the depths of our soul. Lord, it's not about me. It's not about Powhatan. It's not about Jim. It's not about us individually or collectively. It's about You. It's all about You, Lord. And help us to realize that every day. Every day, Lord, You give us health and strength and ability where we're laying on the bed, off of the bed, or whatever, a mind to make decisions. And help us, Lord, to be doing whatever it is that we can do while we have time and opportunity to point men and women to the Lamb of God that can take away the sins of the world. Bless this invitation on Him now. Bless this wonderful pastor and his wife and this church family. Lord, may the revival fires that have been sparked and the joys that You've renewed in our hearts and our lives live on and on and on and on and be transposed into many other lives all along the way. And we'll thank You and praise You in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn.